We are back for another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. I'm very excited for my guest today and the topic. I'm joined by Dr. Anna Fernandez, a rheumatology provider at Essentia Health. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So as a woman, I always hear about osteoporosis and how bone health is so important. I've had other guests on that have mentioned that, so I'm excited to dive in. Can we just start talking about bone health in general? What is the importance of bone health for women, especially as we age? I'm only 32, so I feel like I don't have to worry about it now, but when do we kind of start to have to worry about those things?
Well, I think that we have to start worrying about it when we're actually teenagers and in our early 20s, because we want to build our bone health and build our bone structure as much as we can, as because it's genetically determined. So why do we worry about bone health is because we want to age gracefully. We want to be able to stay independent. We want to be active. It's very important that we have good bone health. So we really need to be proactive even at a young age.
Well, I guess I am a little behind then, because I thought that I didn't have to worry about it till I got a little older. So how does the aging process affect bone density and strength? And what are some things that we can be doing right now?
So for us women, one of the important things is that we can build our bones up till the age of 20 or 30. Then we see a stabilization because of our hormones. And then at the time of menopause, we see a very rapid downward trend in our bones. And so that tends to put us more at risk for breaking with very minimal trauma. And this is why we want to be so attentive to this as best as we can. Some people say, well, you know, I break a bone, it will heal, it's just a fracture. But as we get older, it's not that easy. Our elderly patients tend to lose their mobility, they lose their independence, they even die because of a hip fracture. So we want to be very proactive about this.
So I know you said that it's predetermined to some extent, but what are some lifestyle factors that also impact bone health?
So very important things that we can do. So if we want to be proactive, it means being very good about our calcium intake when we're in our teens and 20s, when we're building up our bone mass. So that we drink our milk if you're not milk intolerant, that you have your dairy products if you can tolerate them. Make sure that you stay active. An exercise routine helps the bones. You're not falling. Be careful if you're a smoker. Smoking is not good for your bones. It tends to be detrimental. Be careful with too much alcohol. That also tends to be an issue for our bones. So these are the things that we can do to help ourselves.
That's interesting that you mentioned smoking, because that is one thing that I definitely would not think plays a role in bone health.
Yes. So it's really important. It's one of the risk factors that we look for, and our patients can do better if they quit.
That's interesting. Hopefully people that are listening to this that, you know, want to quit smoking, I think that's another big reason, maybe an inspiration for them to quit. That's really interesting. So let's talk about osteoporosis. That's a word that is thrown around all the time, but some people might not know exactly what it is. So what is osteoporosis, and how does it specifically affect women?
So osteoporosis means thinning of the bones. And I'm glad that you're asking for the clarification, because of a lot of our patients confuse it with osteoarthritis. So osteoarthritis is more the cartilage thins out. We're bone on bone. Our joints need replaced. Osteoporosis is our bones get thin, so they tend to break. The back tends to crush, or compression fracture. So there's a difference between these two. And for us women, it tends to get very accelerated at the time of menopause, because we tend to lose estrogen at that time.
So this might be a dumb question. So men can also get osteoporosis as well? Is it just more prevalent in women since we go through menopause?
Excellent question. Men do get osteoporosis. They just have a larger bone mass. They don't go through that rapid loss of a hormone, but they do suffer the impact of osteoporosis, and we tend to forget about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what are the risk factors for developing osteoporosis?
So risk factors that you want to pay attention include the postmenopausal status. I made a comment before about genetics. So if grandma had osteoporosis or a hip fracture, right there, the family is at risk for osteoporosis. So your family history is really important. If you're not a good calcium taker because you're dairy intolerant, you have to take supplements to be able to help your bone mass. If you have low vitamin D level, that also can affect you. We commented on if you're a smoker or if you're drinking excessively. All of those are risks. In addition, some of our patients need to be on certain medications that could put them at risk. And this could be things like prednisone, some of the birth control measures that we use, Depo-Provera. So there's a lot of different things that we have to be attentive that could put a person at risk.
So a lot of times when I talk to doctors for this podcast, the topic has, whether it's like a disease or whatnot, it has a bunch of symptoms that could also be symptoms of multiple diseases. So how do you diagnose osteoporosis? Are there tests? Are there assessments? How can you determine if somebody has that?
So that is an excellent question, because most of our patients with osteoporosis have no symptoms. So when they first realize that they have osteoporosis is because they were picking a bag from the trunk of the car and they break a vertebra, or they fall down from their standing height and they break a wrist, or they're standing and all of a sudden they fall. And always people ask the question, did the hip fall or did they fall and break their hip?
So that kind of leads me to the signs and symptoms that I want to talk about. So obviously if you fall, you know, you have a break or something, that might help you guys determine. But what are the early warning signs and symptoms of osteoporosis that women should be aware of?
So, for example, if you realize that you're not don't have a healthy diet, that would be something to pay attention to. If things for women to be attentive is if you broke a wrist in your early 50s, that could be a sign into the future that your bones are weak. If somebody did an x-ray for some other reason and the radiologist comments that their bones are thin, that could be something for you to pay attention, because most of the time we don't diagnose it until you break, or we do a test known as the bone density test or a DEXA scan, and that helps us give you the diagnosis.
So let's say you don't have a break or anything like that, but maybe you're just feeling off. Are there signs that may indicate that you have like weakened bones or maybe osteoporosis, like without breaking something? Like, what are some of those signs?
Most of our patients have no symptoms at all. They don't have bone pain that would give you that warning. So most of our patients with osteoporosis may feel nothing at all. And that's why it's challenging, because you're trying to make a decision to treat it when you don't feel any symptom.
So if you don't have symptoms, and I'm just curious for myself, if you don't have symptoms of this, is it dangerous if you don't break a bone? Like, is it okay? Is it manageable? Or if is it still worrisome if you have it, but you don't have any symptoms?
That's where the screening comes in. Most of the time, our young patients, 30s, 40s, will not have a fracture, will not break when they fall. Now, if you are in that age group and you fall and you break a wrist, then that should be a signal that we need to further look into the strength of and the health of your bones. There's some criteria now that once we get to menopause, if you've had a fracture or if you've had a family member who has had osteoporosis, then we start screening. And definitely screening by age 60 if you have no other risk factors.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that, because I was curious as you were talking about that. So how is osteoporosis related pain managed?
So most of the time, if someone breaks a hip, then the management is going to be surrounding the hip fracture. The challenging ones tend to be when people get vertebral, or what we call compression fractures. You have to let them heal. So those can be very challenging. They really affect the mobility of our patients. They go to physical therapy. They have some braces. There's some techniques, but it's really pretty much the same management of someone having a broken bone.
That's good to know. So we touched on this a little bit when we were doing an overview of bone health, but let's talk about prevention and management. I'm somebody who really freaks out about my health a lot. I do that thing that you're not supposed to do where you self-diagnose. So what strategies do you recommend for preventing osteoporosis in women? Obviously, we talked about if you can't have dairy, you're taking a supplement to make up for that. But what other things can women do at all ages to prevent osteoporosis?
So at all ages, definitely stay active. An exercise routine, a strengthening routine tends to be very helpful on the bone. So do not become sedentary. That tends to affect a lot of other conditions. Avoid smoking, because that tends to be helpful. Be careful with the use of alcohol, because that can be helpful to your bones. If you have other medical conditions, for example, you need to be on thyroid medication, that it stays within the normal range, not too high because that tends, or too low because that tends to affect your bones. So there are some things. If you need to be on prednisone, that your doctors help you make sure that you're taking your calcium and your vitamin D.
So you mentioned staying active. Are there specific exercises or physical activities, or is it more so just, you know, find a workout routine you like, maybe throw in some strength training?
So typically what we tend to tell people is to incorporate weight-bearing exercise. That seems to have a better impact on the bone. So if you're doing swimming, that may be great for some of the joints in someone who has arthritis, but that doesn't have the impact on the bone. So it tends to be weight-bearing, walking is excellent, and then add some strengthening to have strong muscles. Because if you have a good strong muscles, I also tell people to do balance exercises, because if you're not falling, then you're not breaking.
Right. And those are things that are definitely manageable. It's not, you know, too crazy. You're not saying go lift a million pound weights, you know, just some easy things we can incorporate.
Right. Or tell our patients to go train for a marathon.
Right. Or yeah, I did a half marathon this year and I'm like, I've never felt older, but I was excited I did that.
Good for you.
So let's talk about diet in terms of prevention and management. Diet plays into so many things. What dietary recommendations do you have for supporting bone health and preventing osteoporosis?
So this tends to be, you know, fruits and vegetables, dairy, if you can tolerate dairy for your calcium. We don't get enough vitamin D from our diet, so it tends to be supplementing with vitamin D. In general, you know, low carb, no sugar tends to help us stay healthy overall. That tends to be mostly the diet that tends to be helpful for most of our patients.
So again, easy things that we can incorporate, nothing too crazy, but just some healthy lifestyle changes. Let's talk about screening now, because we're on the topic of prevention. At what age should women start getting screened for osteoporosis?
So if you are 65 years old, you definitely should have had a screening test for osteoporosis to see where you're at. The only problem is the younger people, so let's say anybody below the age of 65, if you have had a wrist fracture, if you're losing height, for example, if you have a family member who has had a hip fracture, you are at risk. Your risks are accumulating. So some people need to be checked with a bone density test before the age of 65. So menopause tends to be an age where a lot of our women tend to have a baseline bone density test so they know where they are and they can be proactive.
Right. And then once you hit 65, how often should you be screened? And then before that, if you do have something where you do need to get screened for the reasons you mentioned, how often should they come in?
So usually at the age of 65, you have normal bone density. The recommendation is that you can wait 5 years or longer if you don't have other risk factors. If you're someone who at 65 have low bone density that we also call osteopenia, so how people don't get confused, osteoporosis and osteopenia, both of them put you at risk for fracture, then if you tend to be on medications, we follow your bone density test about every 2 years.
Okay, so staying on top of that for sure. What are the current guidelines for bone density testing?
So we definitely want to make sure that we check our postmenopausal women, anybody who has had a fracture that was low impact. And so we hear a lot of people that they fall and they break a wrist and they tell us, well, it was a hard fall. But if you fall from your standing height, that's considered a low impact fracture. If you have family history of osteoporosis, if you're on medications that affect your bone, for example, prednisone, those are all indications for you to consider doing a bone density test.
Interesting. Okay. And then, of course, you know, everybody can always ask their doctor if they're unsure. It's better to ask about it.
Right.
Rather than just, you know, wait or put it off or whatnot, right?
It's good to always ask. And if you have family history of osteoporosis, that could be a risk right there. So it's always a good idea to be proactive.
Good. Good advice right there. So is there treatment for osteoporosis?
Yes, we do have treatments for osteoporosis. There are medications that are used to maintain the bone density, and we have also medications that help us build bone density. They're not abundant like we have blood pressure medications, but we do have some medications that in a specific group of patients can be very effective in lowering the risk of future fractures.
For me, I feel like growing up hearing osteoporosis, I always thought that meant, okay, your life is over, you know, your quality of life goes downhill, but it sounds like there are options and it is manageable. It's more so just, you know, being aware of your health and getting ahead of it and talking to your doctor about it.
Absolutely. And then if you're able to have a good diet, calcium, vitamin D, careful with your medications, sometimes people don't have a choice. They need to be on those medications, like some of the seizure medications, et cetera. If you end up having a broken bone or having osteoporosis, you have options available to improve your odds.
That's good. That puts me at ease because, like I said, I'm somebody who kind of gets a little scared every time I do one of these episodes. I learn a lot, but I'm always like, oh no, what are women up against? Are there any new or emerging treatments for osteoporosis that you think could become a part of treating osteoporosis in the future?
I think there's a lot of research going on. We're getting some good results with medications that help us build bone. Remember that they're medications that are used for a short period of time. These are not medications that you use now and for the rest of your life. We are now using them more intermittently for 5 years, and then you get what we call a drug holiday. So yeah, it's very exciting to see that there's more things coming down the line, but we do have some things available now that we can use.
Definitely. And then my last question for you, is there anything that you want anybody listening to know about osteoporosis? Like, I feel like with every disease, there's misinformation out there or maybe like stereotypes. Is there any of those that you want to clear up here that maybe people like me think about osteoporosis?
Well, I think we need to be proactive about it, start young and stay active. I think that there are options if we have family members with osteoporosis and risk factors. I think the message is that there's something that you can do about it and not just assume that it's because we are getting old.
Right. Whenever I do one of these episodes too, I'm like, well, it inspires me to just take care of my health, all that more reason to take care of my health, I guess, would be the right way to put it.
Absolutely, because what we want is we want to age gracefully and we want to have quality of life. So if we can be proactive, that's the way to go.
Well, I think that just about covers the basics of bone health and signs of osteoporosis. Dr. Anna Fernandez, rheumatology provider at Essentia Health, thank you so much. And like I've said during this podcast, I was really scared of osteoporosis. And after having this conversation and hearing that it's manageable and how we can take care of ourselves today to help prevent it, it just made me feel a lot better. I think other people will feel better as well. So thank you so much for being a guest on this episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health.
Wonderful. You're very welcome.